From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. President Obama today blamed a group linked to al-Qaeda for the attempted bombing of a U.S. airplane last week. A 23-year-old Nigerian man is accused of trying to set off explosives aboard a Northwest Airlines flight as it prepared to land in Detroit on Christmas Day. The president said more is being learned about the suspect.
We know that he traveled to Yemen, a country grappling with crushing poverty and deadly insurgencies. It appears that he joined an affiliate of al-Qaeda, and that this group, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, trained him, equipped him with those explosives, and directed him to attack that plane headed for America.
In his weekly address, the president said he's made it a priority to work with the government of Yemen to train and equip its security forces to fight al-Qaeda terrorists. Police in Denmark have shot and wounded a Somali man at the home of an artist whose cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad was one of 12 that had angered many Muslims. Police say the suspect had ties to an Islamist group, that he broke into Kurt Vestergaard's house and threatened to kill him. The BBC's Malcolm Brabant reports.
Kurt Vestergaard told Ulandsposten, the newspaper for which he drew the controversial Muhammad cartoon, that the attacker managed to enter his house by smashing a window. Mr. Vestergaard, who's 74, grabbed his 5-year-old granddaughter and fled to the bathroom of his modern bungalow. This is a fortified panic room. He pushed an alarm button which alerts police at a nearby station. Mr. Vestergaard told reporters that the attacker was trying to batter down the door and shouting that he wanted revenge and to kill the cartoonist. The police arrived and forced the lone assailant outside. They say that he attempted to attack them, and an officer opened fire, shooting the man in the thigh and the hand.
The BBC's Malcolm Brabant reporting. It's a new year, and Americans hope to put the financial crisis of 2009 behind them. Many analysts say that the economy is slowly recovering, but plenty of challenges remain in 2010. Danielle Carson reports.
The giant gasps we heard in 2009 were the sounds of Wall Street going under and the housing bubble exploding. The economy is slowly climbing out of those catastrophes. Still, the outlook for 2010 is far from rosy.
2009 was a horrible year, so anything's going to look better than 2009. But we're not going to see robust growth at the end of 2010. We're not going to have a lot more jobs than we did at the beginning of the year. So for most people, it's going to feel like a really bad year.
Dean Baker, an economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, expects the GDP to grow a modest 2%. Other economists predict it could climb up to 4%. They agree housing prices will keep scraping bottom, dropping another 10%. But there's a bright spot. Analysts say the stock market should climb another 10 to 15%. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The Fox Television Network and Time Warner Cable announced they've settled their dispute, one that had threatened to keep Fox programming off televisions in 13 million homes. Their contract had expired Thursday night, but signals were extended yesterday as the negotiations continued. The terms of the agreement have not been disclosed. Fox had wanted Time Warner to pay $1 per month for every cable subscriber for its broadcast signal that it had once given away freely from the stations it owns. Deborah Howell has died. The pioneering newswoman served as the sometimes controversial ombudsman for the Washington Post. She was killed in a road accident while vacationing in New Zealand. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Nelson reports.
A native of San Antonio, Howell worked at papers in Texas and Minnesota. She was one of the first women to head a large daily newspaper in the U.S., the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Jackie Banaszynski was one of the reporters to win a Pulitzer Prize there under Howell.
I never knew a better newswoman. She always knew everything before anybody else. But she never forgot that part where people live in their hearts, and we as journalists have to be there too.
Howell became ombudsman for the Washington Post in 2005 and sparked controversy responding to the paper's coverage of the Jack Abramoff scandal. She left the paper in 2008 and was 68 when she died. For NPR News, I'm Tim Nelson in St. Paul.
American snowboarder Kevin Pierce is in critical condition at a hospital in Utah after an accident this week. The 22-year-old is a top-ranked half-pipe rider who's believed to have a good chance of making the U.S. Olympic team. Officials say he hit his head during a training run Thursday. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.